So we have Mark on the line with us now. Mark, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Oh, much better, much better. So you are down in Mexico today.
I am in Monterrey, Mexico today, and I have been here for about a month.
For about a month. Well, that's kind of hard on a campaign, isn't it?
Well, this was never supposed to happen. I should have been here at the end of this month, not during the first of this month. So it is what it is.
Okay. So, well, where do you live when you're here in the States?
I live in Williamson. I'm from Pelzer, a lifelong resident. Been in my same house for like 37 years. From here, live here, not going anywhere.
Okay. Well, just for the record, Mark, if you were elected to the Senate here in this race, how would this work with your job, since I think your job takes you just a lot of different places, doesn't it?
I have never been on an out-of-country visit. I've always worked in the Greenville, Anderson, northern Georgia. So this is the first.
Oh, okay.
This is not what I normally do.
Okay. And what exactly do you do? What is your job?
I've spent my life as a salesman selling fluid power. I graduated high school on a Thursday night in 1979 and went to work in that industry on Monday morning. With that, I go out to customers who have broken machinery, need valve cylinders, fittings, and figure out what's wrong and come up with a solution to fix the problems.
Okay. So they called you a long way away this time, huh?
Yeah, it called me a long ways away. The company I'm doing work for is out of Livonia, Georgia, and they happen to be installing a machine that we rebuilt in Georgia here in Monterrey, Mexico.
Yeah. So what made you decide to run for the office of Senate?
We got to have people in Colombia who are common sense minded people. There's lots of lawyers down there. Nothing against Mr. Patchett, but he's a lawyer. We've got plenty of lawyers down there. We got plenty of rich people down there. I am very fortunate in my stage in life that everything I own is paid for. So I am at the opportunity to where I can afford to go there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, January, February, March, April, May for a meager $10,400 paycheck, because I don't have to have a lot of money to pay my bills. And so we're normally limited to having lawyers and doctors and gigantic multi-million-dollar business owners go to Columbia to represent us, which I'm afraid they're representing self-interest instead of their electorate's interest. And I am one of you. I am nothing more than a person who's worked all my life. I don't owe anybody anything, so I therefore can afford at this stage in my life to go to Columbia to serve the people, not myself. Interest.
Yeah. How old are you, Mark?
54. I'll be 55 in May.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good accomplishment in today's world, not to owe anybody anything at 54, 55.
It's way before Dave Ramsey hit the radio in the local area, 20 years ago, $10,000, $11,000 a month. It was a miserable state of being. And I told myself then I wanted to make less money every year of my life. And what that meant was the less you owe, the less you have to make. I'm at the point where I don't have to make very much because I don't owe anything.
Well, what do you see as the big issues for if you were elected to this office for the Senate here, District 4, what do you see as the big issues that you want to concentrate on?
One of the biggest things that irritate me is education. I know for a fact, I have teachers who tell me, and it's a proven fact, that our students are not having to perform, the ones who are on the lower scale of caring. They're given a D. This was 10 years ago. They're given a D, and the principals and the administration are telling teachers to give them a passing grade to move them through the system. What's happening now is they're actually giving them C's and B's to make sure it looks like our students are doing well. I would hate to be a professor at a college level or tech level when the students get there because they really don't know very much. And I'm not referring to the students who work hard and really want to succeed in school. I'm referring to the students that we're only putting through the system in order to maintain the $10,000 to $12,000 per student. and to make our districts look like we're doing great, Anderson District 1 being one of those. We used to be way at the bottom in Anderson County, within all the county's districts. And Dr. Gary, at the time our principal, bought into the No Child Left Behind and told the teachers, under no circumstance are you to give a kid an F. Everyone gets a D. One of my very close friends was a teacher there. And she said, Dr. Gary, I have a student who has never turned any homework in. He's never even written his name on a test that I've handed out in class. The only proof I have that he was in my class is the fact that you, the school district, put him on my roster. What am I to do with this student? There's no proof he even exists. Dr. Gary said, you have to give him a D. That is a failed system. We don't need to get kids through the system. We need to educate kids that are in the system. And unfortunately, if the kids don't perform, and if they don't want to be in class, school should not be considered a right. School is one of the, other than religious freedoms, the worship our God, the God, the biggest freedom and most privileged thing we have in our country is a free education to the people who are there. But we're not giving them an education. We're putting them through the system. We're dumbing down our students, and that has got to change.
How would you go about changing that, Mark?
Well, you know, part of it, Anderson District 1, when I graduated in 1979, there was about four cars in front of Anderson District 1 office right there at the corner where Pamela High and Pamela Middle is. Only about four cars. Mm-hmm. The building now has quadrupled in size, and there's like 50 to 70 cars around that building. Most of that comes from No Child Left Behind in that there's bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy. To my understanding, the federal government gives South Carolina about 17% of their budget to operate their school. But unfortunately, South Carolina spends about 28% of their entire budget in order to upkeep and maintain the mandates that come along with that 17%. See, that's dumb math in my opinion. I'm not going to spend 27% of my budget in order to keep happy 17% of my income. And that's what our state is doing. Well, all this administration, that does not teach one single child. It's just bureaucracy, lots of chiefs. Mm-hmm. And we've got plenty of Indians. Our teachers are wonderful. I have a daughter that is a teacher. But it is so terrible that we have so much bureaucracy that we're spending way too much money. I mean, teachers haven't had a significant raise, but you look at these administrators. You go to your district office and ask how much money the people inside that building make compared to the people who actually teach your students.
So as a senator, is there a path to fix this problem?
Stand up at the podium and scream and holler from the top of my voice and educate. I don't think most people, I don't think most parents, much less people who don't have kids in school, realize that our students are being pushed through the system. I would like to put in a law, a rule, an allowance that it would be called fly on the wall. I wish that the public would have the right to show up at a school or to show up at a government office and say, I'm here for the fly on the wall observation.
I like it.
Don't tell them ahead of time, and you stand in that schoolroom all day long. You do not distract. You do not disturb. You go to a government office. You go to the administrator's office, and you sit and watch what these people do. I think our society would be really upset to know that a student only receives about 5 to 10 minutes worth of teaching because the teacher is spending most of their time doing disciplinary action to students who don't want to be there and, unfortunately, in my opinion, should not be allowed to stay in the class. But instead, they have the right to stay in that class and disturb all the other students who have the privilege to want the best education they can get.
Yeah, I mean, education is a big conundrum, how we're going to solve that issue. And you're right, a lot of it is pushing students through because they just, it's like a mill. We just got to keep moving them on. But I would like to see something done about that. Is there another issue? We've got time for one more issue if you'd like to tell us another issue that you'd like to...
Let's pick tax, which I'm going to throw in road and tax in general.
Okay.
Our roads are in terrible shape. They're not in terrible shape because we don't have the money to spend on them. Their roads are in terrible shape because they waste money within the South Carolina DOT. A little shortcut that I take to go to Greenville is a little road called Devonshire. At the end of Devonshire, it's the only turn right, which is northbound. But while they resurfaced Highway 29, they put gravel in the median so they could cross over. The big trucks could cross over and do a shortcut to save money when they were doing the road. Mm-hmm. Well, they were going to have to fix that, so they quit using it because the road was resurfaced. And when they were there to fix it, that day, all they had to do was plow 12 foot by 60 foot, plow it, smooth it, put down grass, and put down straw. We had 17 South Carolina DOT employees out there with like seven big trucks or great big equipment to plow 12 foot by 50 foot. It took them all day. I could have taken my garden tiller over there and done it by hand in less than a half a day all by myself. So road tax, there's money there. We just need to spend it more wisely. And also, I would not be going along with a fuel tax increase because they're already saying, or Nikki Haley wanted to lower from 7% to 6% our state income tax if we did an increase in fuel tax. Well, that's admitting there's money in Columbia. They're just not willing to spend it in the right direction. But if we pull their hand and say we want more on DOT, she'll give us a tax decrease. Well, they've already got our money. They need to spend it more wisely. And I would also like the Senate bill something back in 2006 when Act 388 passed in the House was going to be one additional penny instead of 1 cent sales tax to get rid of the school operating expense off our taxes. One more penny in 2006 would have allowed you, Miss Ann, myself, and every other constituent in South Carolina to not have any property tax on their house, their car, and no businesses would own property taxes on the buildings they own. Back to I owe nobody nothing. I semi-lied. I owe rent to Anderson County for the rest of my life on my cars and on my house. So the one thing that's in my personal interest in going to Columbia would be enact a law or the change in the taxes to add one penny. I don't care if it's two pennies. I want you and me to own our property. I don't want elderly people kicked out of their house because they couldn't pay a $200 tax bill and have it sold at auction. I want us to own our property, not pay rent to the government the rest of our life for our own property.
Well, those are definitely points that need to be addressed, and, you know, that's why I really think that the House, the Senate, even on the federal, was always supposed to be a citizen's government, wasn't it, Mark?
Yep.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a citizen's government. I'll give you 1 minute to tell us why people should vote for you. I think you've already given us a lot, but how about give us a 1 minute why you would like to go to the Senate, be elected for District 4 today. Today's the day to vote.
Yes, and I tried to get Nikki Haley to cancel this vote today because it's ridiculous because we all have to register again for the June primary. But my name is Mark Powell. I am a common man. I have spent my life fixing things that are broken. Send me to Columbia, and I will fix I will do my best. I can't say I will fix. I will do my best to have other like-minded people join with me to inform and change the South Carolina system. I'm not rich. I'm not a lawyer. I don't own a big fancy business. I'm self-employed. I only have one employee. That's me. And I would love to go down to serve you. The only self-interest I have is to lower mine and your taxes and to make our society better. I can't pass a law that's going to make me have more lawyer friends get rich off the stuff we wrote. I don't own a business that I can write a law for communications or low-voltage internet connections. I am a man just like most of the people who are listening to you now, a regular human being who would like to go and be a public servant.
I appreciate you taking the time to call us, Mark, from down there in Mexico. Good luck to you, and hope you make it back here to South Carolina real soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too.